Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Coherus, we had the pleasure of speaking with Glenn J. Hanna, MD, and Siobhan Candela, MD, about the FDA approval of toripalimab in patients with recurrent or metastatic nasopharyngeal carcinoma. Dr. Hanna is the director of the Center for Cancer Therapeutic Innovation Early Drug Development Program, the director of the Center for Salivary and Rare Head and Neck Cancers, and a physician at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, as well as an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, both in Boston, Massachusetts. Dr. Candela is a radiation oncologist at Advent Health Medical Group Radiation Oncology at Central Florida in Orlando. On October 27, 2023, frontline toripalimab plus gemcitabine and cisplatin received FDA approval for adult patients with recurrent or metastatic locally advanced nasopharyngeal cancer. The FDA also approved toripalimab monotherapy for adult patients with recurrent or metastatic nasopharyngeal carcinoma whose disease progressed on or after platinum-based chemotherapy. These regulatory decisions were supported by findings from the Phase 3 JUPITER-02 and Phase 1-2 POLARIS-02 trials, respectively. In JUPITER-02, toripalimab in combination with chemotherapy reduced the risk of progression or death by 48% versus chemotherapy alone. In POLARIS-02, toripalimab monotherapy elicited an overall response rate of 20.5%. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Hanna and Candela discussed the significance of this approval, pivotal data from the JUPITER-02 and POLARIS-02 trials, and how the addition of toripalimab to the nasopharyngeal carcinoma treatment armamentarium increases the importance of multidisciplinary collaboration. Speaking today about the FDA approval of toripalimab in nasopharyngeal carcinoma, what is the significance of this approval?
First of all, you know, especially in the Western side of the world, EBV or non-EBV or viral-associated nasopharyngeal carcinoma is actually pretty unusual cancer. There's a much larger proportion of patients in Northern Africa and Asia who are impacted by this disease, largely thought to be based on the epidemiology of the EBV virus. The importance of this is, number one, that we don't have a lot of data in the United States for how to take care of these patients. Most of the trial data has come from Asia. I think that it's important to recognize that this trial adds immunotherapy with toripalimab to our standard backbone of chemotherapy with gemcitabine and platinum in a combination for these patients with advanced disease. And as we'll talk about, improves outcomes in terms of response and time to progression as well as survival. And so I think the importance is that we now have a better combination in terms of a triplet therapy using chemo and immunotherapy together to improve outcomes for these folks. And this is something, you know, we've seen in other cancer types as well. In head and neck squamous cell carcinomas that exclude nasopharyngeal cancer, we've seen benefit from chemo immunotherapy. So now it's nice to see that combination benefiting patients with this unique head and neck septum.
The Phase 3 JUPITER-02 study demonstrated that first-line treatment with toripalimab plus gemcitabine and cisplatin yielded a clinically meaningful improvement in overall survival, a progression-free survival compared to gemcitabine and cisplatin alone in patients with recurrent or metastatic nasopharyngeal carcinoma with close to 3 years of follow-up data. So the three-year overall survival rate actually approached 65% in the combination arm with a median progression-free survival of 21 months compared to only 8 months with chemotherapy alone, which is quite a substantial improvement and really solidifies this regimen as a new standard of care in this patient population. We do cure many patients with locally advanced nasopharyngeal carcinoma with standard of care induction, gemcitabine and cisplatin, followed by chemo radiation. However, 20% of those patients still fail local regionally and or distantly by 5 years. So traditionally, these patients have been treated with gemcitabine or cisplatin salvage chemotherapy, but that regimen has only yielded a progression-free survival of only 7 months with a median overall survival of around 29 months. So by 3 years out, only 30% of patients are living on that regimen. So many of the trials that led to the approval of other immunotherapy drugs in recurrent head and neck cancer specifically excluded nasopharyngeal carcinoma. So JUPITER-02 really addresses an unmet need in this patient population who experienced recurrence after curative intent therapy.
What is the mechanism of action of toripalimab?
Toripalimab, similar to other immune checkpoint inhibitors, is a programmed death protein 1 inhibitor or PD-1 inhibitor. It's an antibody that binds to the surface of PD-1 and generally blocks the interaction between PD-1, which is often expressed on immune cells, from engaging with the ligand of PD-1, which is PD-L1, and that's usually expressed on cancer cells. And so by blocking that interaction, it removes a negative signal. Some people will say it removes the brakes and allows, in many cases, the T cells and other immune cells in the microenvironment around the cancer to hopefully engage and attack the cancer and recognize it so that the immune system can be harnessed against the cancer. So in that way, it's an immune checkpoint blockade. So blocking the interaction between PD-1 and PD-L1.
Toripalimab is a humanized programmed death receptor 1 monoclonal antibody that binds the PD-1 receptor of T cells, which helps prevent the binding of PD-1 with the ligands on cancer cells. And that really helps restore anti-tumor immunity. And by blocking this interaction, it really upregulates our own immune system's ability to kill and attack cancer cells. Most nasopharyngeal carcinomas actually are PD-L1 expressing. So it's very beneficial to have an immunotherapy agent like toripalimab in this population.
What were some of the key efficacy findings from the JUPITER-02 trial of toripalimab plus gemcitabine and cisplatin in the frontline setting?
This was a large phase 3 trial, JUPITER-02, and essentially randomized patients to the toripalimab immunotherapy or placebo in combination with the platinum and the gemcitabine. And really what we were able to see, at least in the beginning at the interim analysis, was that the toripalimab plus chemotherapy group had an improvement in progression-free survival, meaning the time to progression by several months. And we also saw that the response rate was a little bit higher, meaning the percentage of the cancer in any one patient that was shrinking beyond 30% or so was observed in about 77% of patients as compared to 66%, at least in the interim analysis. And that response was often durable, which we see with immunotherapies where it carries over for many months. So those were important signals to note. In the original report of the data, the overall survival, so sort of the time from when the clock started to how long the patients lived or were followed up at the beginning of therapy, was similar between the two arms, but there was a trend towards improvement in survival overall for the combination of the toripalimab chemoimmunotherapy. So all of those things, you know, pointing to responses, progression-free or time without progression of cancer, and then hopefully overall survival, all point towards important cancer outcomes.
What were some of the key efficacy findings from Polaris-02 with toripalimab monotherapy in the second and later line settings?
Polaris-02 was a little bit smaller. These were treatment refractory nasopharyngeal cancer patients treated with the single agent of the immune checkpoint inhibitor toripalimab. The response rate here was roughly around 20%. And overall, the median progression-free survival was about a little over a year, year and a half. And they did some correlative analyses where they monitored the Epstein-Barr virus copy number for patients while they were on treatment with toripalimab. And there was a suggestion that patients who had a response or shrinkage of cancer were more likely to have a decrease in their Epstein-Barr virus copy number levels. And so this was obviously an important signal because we look at drug single agent activity in the later lines of therapy. And then a natural tendency when we see a signal for safety and potential benefit is to move them into the front line or, you know, at the beginning when patients have recurrent or metastatic disease. That on top of the fact that there's a trend in oncology, whether it's lung cancer or head and neck squamous cancers, to combine chemotherapy and immunotherapy for their sort of synergistic and at least at a minimum, their additive potential.
From these two trials, what is the safety profile of toripalimab?
Largely, with some minor differences, toripalimab seems to be similar in terms of overall safety profile or sort of immune-mediated toxicity or immune-related adverse events, as we've seen with some of the other, at least in the U.S., approved immune checkpoint inhibitors that are targeting PD-1, like pembrolizumab and nivolumab. common things with checkpoint inhibitors in general across the class would be things like fatigue. Sometimes low sodium has been described in a number of patients, as well as joint aches, or nausea, many of these things, even diarrhea. These are often manageable symptoms, fatigue being the most common. The rate of serious immune-related adverse events across checkpoint inhibitor monotherapy or single agent therapy for PD-1 inhibitors is less than 20%. It's about 15% for a serious immune event where the drug would cause inflammation in another organ or location. So like any of the so-called itises, colitis or hepatitis or pneumonitis. Thankfully, rates of serious immune-related toxicity were low and comparable to what we would expect for other immune checkpoint.
You know, with locally recurrent nasopharyngeal carcinoma following chemoradiation, it can be very difficult to offer resection or safely deliver a course of re-irradiation given the anatomical location. Prior studies have actually demonstrated that 20 to 40% of deaths in patients with locally regional recurrent nasopharyngeal carcinoma are actually attributed to treatment-related adverse events, specifically nasal hemorrhage, one of the more common grade 5 events that we can see. So we'd always like to offer a salvage curative intent therapy, but a safe cure may be difficult to achieve given this location. The results from JUPITER-02 really suggest that combination toripalimab plus chemotherapy may provide a more sanguine option for patients. Radiation oncologists, medical oncologists may not necessarily want to risk serious and even fatal toxicities with re-irradiation.
With the addition of toripalimab to the nasopharyngeal carcinoma treatment paradigm, what is the importance of multidisciplinary collaboration between medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, and other teams?
Yeah, this is a really important point. You know, head and neck is a rare and complex area of oncology. These tumors affect a large number of our functions, as well as it involves speech and swallow and smell and taste, and sometimes even vision, depending on the location of the cancer. And so, you know, for that reason, you know, it often requires a complex discussion between our surgical oncology colleagues, a head and neck surgeon, radiation specialists, and medical oncologists to understand what's the right constellation of treatments, you know, whether it's chemotherapy combined with radiation or starting with chemotherapy first if someone has a large cancer that's very symptomatic, and knowing the different locations of the tumor. So for example, nasopharynx cancers are treated more often when they're bulky and larger with chemotherapy first, followed by chemoradiation. Whereas in other head and neck tumors, we start with surgery, follow that with postoperative or adjuvant radiation with or without chemo, or we might do chemoradiation alone. So there's a lot of nuances to decision-making, both from the patient standpoint, the toxicity standpoint, and the disease location or the primary site of head and neck cancer, nasopharynx cancer, that goes into that decision-making. And so, you know, that on top of the fact that there are different prognoses related to different head and neck cancers. So nasopharynx cancer can be attributed to EBV, but there are oropharynx or throat cancers linked to the human papillomavirus, for example, and thinking about how those might be treated differently. Because of all those complexities, it requires a pretty significant team of oncologists working together to nominate sort of the best treatment plan for any given patient.
So radiation oncologists, medical oncologists, head and neck surgeons, we typically follow these patients longitudinally with clinical exams, imaging, and EBV DNA titers to monitor for recurrence. So it's really important for all members of a multidisciplinary team to be aware of this data, as any team member can refer to our medical oncologist for toripalimab if we see an eligible patient. It's important to discuss these patients ideally in a multidisciplinary tumor board in order to make the most appropriate treatment decision to determine, hey, can this patient really achieve a safe salvage curative intent therapy, or are they better served by being on systemic therapy with toripalimab and gemcitabine and cisplatin?
What is your main message for colleagues regarding this approval?
What this really speaks to is toripalimab would enter in as sort of a new checkpoint inhibitor that's demonstrated activity in patients with nasopharyngeal cancers that are in the first line advanced setting. This would allow us to utilize chemoimmunotherapy incorporating toripalimab with platinum-based chemotherapy and gemcitabine as an initial strategy for treatment for this population, followed by then maintenance immunotherapy after 6 cycles, as was demonstrated in the JUPITER-02 trial. So really, this would introduce toripalimab as a chemoimmunotherapy option that would be approved for these patients to try to improve survival outcome, well, response and survival outcomes for nasopharyngeal carcinoma patients. So this is a pretty significant change and would definitely represent a new standard of care as it has already done so in China. Could we extrapolate this data to other PD-1 inhibitors? So could you combine pembrolizumab, for example, or nivolumab with platinum gemcitabine as a comparable or alternative checkpoint inhibitor, PD-1 inhibitor for this population? Would that be as effective? And is there any difference between these PD-1 inhibitors? I think that's an unanswered question, but I do think there are people in our field who feel like this is a class effect and that potentially incorporating any of the approved PD-1 inhibitors with platinum and gemcitabine may be beneficial.
Given the provocative overall survival and progression-free survival benefits in the context of a phase 3 randomized study, the combination of toripalimab plus cisplatin and gemcitabine should really be the standard of care in this patient population with recurrent metastatic nasopharyngeal carcinoma, as the data is truly practice-changing.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Coherus. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.